appreciate being able to come back to the house of God. Peace. Great peace. But here lately, I've been stuck in the book of Luke, and God laid some things on my heart, and I preached a message for the radio earlier today, and the message still ain't left me. For some unknown reason, the Lord still got it on my heart, and still got it to where I feel as I need to preach it again to the congregation tonight. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter number 10. Luke 10. I'm going to read the first three verses, and I'll make reference later on to a few other verses. In Luke 10, chapter 10, verse number 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And I'm going to try and preach a little bit tonight on laboring for God. God laid that a little bit on my heart and stuck with me for going on a couple weeks now about laboring for God. And I know one thing about myself, one thing when I got saved was put into me, it was I need to do a work for God. I need to spread the gospel throughout the world. I need to tell people what has been done in my own life, in my own heart, the change that has been made. I need to portray it outwardly as well as verbally. I know, you know, if you look in Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, it says, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, that's an outward appearance there. There's also a verbal implication there as well, that people should see God in you and your actions, everything that you do. Now, God called 70 here also, in addition to the 12 that was called prior to in his discipleship, and sent them out into cities around to let people know that the judgment of God is coming, that the kingdom of heaven is come nigh unto you. And that's coming later on in the scriptures, that he sent them out into the cities and sent them out into houses, and whichever house they come to, if they had peace, to stay there. Now, that's not necessarily saying we need to go stay in people's houses. You know, we have our own homes, we have our families, but there is a work that needs to be done. Now, earlier on in Luke, and I believe it is Luke 8, there's a parable of the sower. Now, when God saved me, he produced a seed was planted in me, a fruit came forth and was produced, therefore producing more seeds. The seeds need to be spread. The seeds, in turn, that come from me need to be sowed. So God, in turn, turned me from a seed into a sower. He's given me the ability to go out and spread the gospel. And the seed being the Word of God. Now, in that parable there, later on after the parable in Luke 8, it makes mention of an explanation of that parable. Now, there's a little bit more I see there than just that parable of the sower. Although God sent us out to do a work that we might bring forth more laborers, the sowing needs to be done, one, that the fruit of God might come forth and be made known and be made manifest. But also, we need to do it more or less so people can be converted, people can hear the Word of God, and people can be saved. Now think on that for just a little while. Now, what's been going on here lately in the house of God is a direct outcome of somebody's prayers, somebody's witness, somebody's actions. Think on that for just a little bit. Now, that's a direct outcome of what happened in my life. It was an indirect thing because my grandfather was praying for me, and this is found out after the fact. I had no idea that anybody had prayed for me, cared for me, or even mentioned me. I was oblivious to that fact. And sooner or later, the seed was sown. Through a work, I was saved. Through a work, that seed was sown in me. God brought forth fruit in His own time, in His own season. and through that I was able to be saved. That I might bring forth more good fruit in my time, in my season that God has for me. My season, my time might be different than yours. But God's got His own time, His own season for every person. He's got His own work and purpose for every person. As right now, I'm called to preach. I don't know where I'll end up 10 years down the road, but I know for a fact I am called to preach. I am called under a purpose, under labor. Just as these 70 were. 70 others were called to a labor that they might bring forth fruit in their own time, that there is harvest coming. There is a time when the kingdom of God has come nigh. Now, back to the parable of the sower. The sowing is something that does need to be done. It's a work. Now, through a work, now, I don't know how many of you actually have a garden or have gardens, you know, with flowers or fruits or vegetables, whatever you grow. I can't say, but I know from a fact, my own experiences, my grandfather had a garden, my dad has a garden, several family members have a garden. What you plant don't always come forth that season. I can tell you, 3 years ago, we planted corn, and we might have gotten maybe a third of what we planted. But the past 2 years, we've planted and we've gotten truckloads of corn. Now, in that sower parable, it states that some seeds fell by the wayside.
Yeah.
Some seeds fell on good ground.
Right.
Some seeds fell on rocky ground.
Yeah.
And some seeds fell amongst the thorns. And they were choked. But out of the four descriptions there, only one-fourth of those descriptions, the seeds fell on good ground. And that's not dividing equally in this day. But what Brother Tim may say to me one day may affect somebody another day, and the seeds pass. What Brother Todd says to somebody at work one day, or out on the street, or in the grocery store one day, they plant a seed, and in fact, they don't produce a fruit, a work.
Right.
And it may not. It's like they said, they went out, they not was going from some cities around them and about them, close by. There was going from house to house, knocking on the door, letting them know, hey, the judgment of God is coming. The judgment of God is coming. Now, we've got to face that. We've got to know and let people out there that we were around every day, we've got to let them know, hey, the kingdom of God is coming. You will have to face judgment. I know in my own work experience, I fail miserably when I go to work. People come in and they walk out not hearing the first thing about what God has done in my life. And it don't even hit me until after the fact, hey, you could have witnessed it there. You could have said something. Or this is a really good one right here. Something very small can make a big impact on somebody. Lord willing. You never know how much, and that's just one example. If you're leaving work one day, or leaving an establishment you go into, and you meet somebody you know, you're close to, you work with, or have an acquaintance with, hey, how you doing? You doing all right? Yeah, I'm fine. And you go your separate way. Well, I'll see you next such and such time, Lord willing. Throw that in there. How many people that you deal with pay attention to what you say? Because I know for a fact, from my standpoint, people to this day at work still come to me and say, I don't know how to do this. I need help finding this product. I need help getting this design brought forth. And each one of those times can be a real good instance that I can witness. And I fail. I fail miserably on that. But all it would take is one Lord willing. Or praise God. Amen. You don't know how much that little phrase, that little implication right there in your speech can make on a person. I mean, earlier on in Scripture, in Luke there also, there is a centurion's servant that is healed. And the centurion sent for Jesus, and being a Gentile, Jesus was on his way there, and he sent forth his other servant saying, hey, don't come. All you got to do is speak it, and it will be done. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. My house is nothing.
you can speak it. Now, what kind of faith is that?
Knowing that God, all God's got to do is, and it's done. At a snap of a finger. But the thing of it is, too,
how did he know about God? How did he know that Christ was out in the world doing the things that he was doing? You know, the Bible says the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
How should they hear without a preacher?
Yeah.
Now,
you tell
it's not only by a preacher. The preacher is meant to stand up and proclaim the word of God as it is. But you,
everybody here who has a profession of faith, is called also unto a work for God.
You know, earlier on, there's also made mention in Luke where Mary Magdalene and several other women come around Jesus and minister to him, unto him, according to their substance.
Meaning there is a work for every person unto what they are able to do. Now, I'm very mechanically minded. Meaning, I can have something Mark put it back together and be right as rain. But I have the hardest time.
I really do. This is a work.
I have the hardest time being able to pick up this Bible and read it and remember it. That is so hard. I could read one scripture to you 5 minutes from now. I won't remember it. But I can tell you how to tear down a small block and put it back together. And most likely it's probably going to run. I'm not the greatest at it. I haven't been to school for it, but that's just my mindset. But even though I can't tell you a scripture I just read 5 minutes ago, God can still use that. Use me. He's called me. And yet I'm still standing here doing a work for him, letting you guys know that, hey, I'm being used. I'm not perfect. No one is.
Right.
But we're called just to send the word, to spread the gospel, to go out. Dad, what's coming? Are you going to come? Jesus knocked on my door numerous times. Thing is, sooner or later I answered. But that may not have been the case.
Yeah.
He could have kept right on walking. He didn't have to knock on my door again.
That's right. Yeah, right.
I could look back throughout my life and realize points in my life where people had said something to me and it just. And God was knocking on my door. And I had no clue. No clue. Oblivious to it. That is that seed was continually sown. That door was continually knocked on. The people were still out there seeking after me. People were still praying for me.
Now also, things aren't always going to go right as rain. Like I said, some seeds may fall by the wayside on rocky ground and just pretty much be choked out. Like I said, out of the four descriptions I give you, that's a quarter will fall on good ground. And that's not an accurate description. It may not be any saved from my ministry, period. But the thing of it is, I'm not called because I'm here to save. I'm not here to save anyone. I'm here to tell you. It's between you and God. The thing of it is, we ought not be discouraged by that. If you've had a bad experience spreading the word of God, or if somebody's got upset with you, don't let that get out of your way. I mean, even the 70 here, if you look down in chapter 10, verse number 10, but into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets and of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, but ye be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. It's made known to them. Even if they don't receive the word, you told them. You're no longer accountable to tell them. Now, I'm not saying that you're never going to be called to knock on their door again or say something to them again. If you have that ability or that privilege, please do so. Because we are in some later times, And if you sit under me and talk to me, you know that's one of my big things. I'm stuck on time. And I don't know why, but God's put that in me. We're running out of time. There's a lot of work to be done in a little amount of time. And the thing of it is, will it come to pass in due season? Will that fruit be bared in that season? But those who don't listen to you, I want you to think about it for just a minute on what they had to face. Now, you're all pretty much aware of Sodom and Gomorrah and how it was destroyed. Look here in chapter 10, verse number 12. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. The later on in the time that we're getting, the more accountable people are going to be held. People, it's like me. If I know I have a work that I need to be doing, and I'm not doing it, I'm going to be held accountable for that. The more these people hear the Word of God, the more they turn away from it and shy away, they're going to be held accountable for that as well. It's off your hands. You've done what God told you to do. The point being is there is work to be done. There is a harvest coming. There is work that we need laborers for. We need all the help we can get, so to speak. God's helped me beyond compared to anything I've ever experienced before. But we're running out of time to do this work. And very soon, I feel as though in America, it's going to be very hard for any Christian person to be able to stand and say anything without being thrown in jail, without having some kind of persecution, which we face persecution now as it is. But the thing of it is, don't let that shy you away. Don't let that turn you. There is a work that still needs to be done, even in these times of persecution. Even in these times where people are going to sit here and say, well, you can't say this, or you can't tell them that. You can't tell them they're wrong. That ain't what God told us to do. Even if they're wrong, right or wrong, we are called to let them know, hey, you need to face God. You need to make it right. God sent His Son to die that we might have eternal life, that we might be able to be made. What's the word I'm looking for here? Reconciled. We are reconciled unto God by that blood, by that sacrifice. That was work that was needed to be done. And even Jesus said, Father, won't you let this pass from me? I know from my own experience, I don't want to get up sometimes and do what needs to be done. But things right now in this day we are living in, we need to prioritize about what's going on, what we need to do. So what if your yard needs to be mowed? Somebody's soul needs to be saved. Somebody needs to hear that word of God. If you have to put it off of that. My soul can wait for another afternoon or a couple of hours. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and we need to prioritize what needs to be going on right now. If you hadn't noticed already, there's been a lot of work being accomplished here lately. And it ain't nothing necessarily none of myself or anybody else. It's what God doing, and we need to be praying in continuation of that work. Now, I know from my own experience, I've got a revival in my heart right now. I was laying up at midnight last night listening to some old messages. I can't remember when. A lot of them had some singing on there, and I got to hearing that singing, that good testimony and everything. It just got me kicking. I just wanted to jump up on my bed and say, praise God! It got me stirred in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Laying there in the dark, laying there on my bed, I just couldn't do nothing but smile and praise God and thank Him. But there is that work. There's that joy. There's a joy, there's a peace, but there's a work that needs to be done. And we got to prioritize about that. The 70 He sent out.
We're sent out that 70 more might come back, or 100 more might come back. And even if it's one, do you think that 70 sent out and one come back be in vain? One soul. Would you put a price on one soul? I can't. I wouldn't even want to attempt to put the price on that. But for some reason God saw fit to send his son for it that he might die. That's an awful big cost. A perfect self, a perfect Savior, perfect God, without spot, without blemish, knowing what had to be done to produce a change in us. He didn't, I shouldn't say didn't want to, but he wanted it passed from him. Let this cup pass from me. Sometimes I don't want to stand up here and preach. I don't always want to do that. I'm honest. I'll be honest with you. So I look down on myself quite often. Quite often. But things need to be said. Things need to be done. Doors need to be knocked on. You know, I like I said in my testimony just a while ago, I got a chance to talk to some people while I've been down. While I had some strength last night, I got to go knock on some people's doors that I hadn't talked to for a while. Wasn't at home, but I went to visit them at work. And I know God's working. I know that seed is still planted. Now, how long it's going to take for that fruit to come forth, I can't say. But we do need to tend to the seeds. Now, you can't let a garden go without water or go without food and milk, bro. Lord knows I put it in my shoes. But it needs to be done. Now, if you mention something to someone and the seed's planted and you know, and you said, and this is when you're about, I can't speak for anybody here except for myself, but I do know that and God has planted a seed through a work that I've done. I need to pin for it. A work needs to be kept. You can't let your garden go. You can't let your responsibilities go. Eventually they're going to crumble and fall apart, and nothing's going to happen. The seed will die and fizzle out. And another seed has to be planted. Now, that's not saying, you know, that there's going to be easy peasy all the time. Because chapter 10, verse 3, go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. There's a little description there of what you have to look forward to. Now, lambs, you know, are gentle creatures, seem to seemingly be very open to predators and threats. Very, very fragile animals. Very gentle animals. And the description there being that they've been sent out among wolves. Now, can you relate in your own experiences in life to having to work and seem like you're a lamb come up against the face of a wolf? Ever got that scared feeling like, Lord, what am I going to do? Only you're going to save me? You know, there's also made mention in there that he's a shepherd. He tends to his flock, his sheep. Now, what's the job of a shepherd? Although we're called to work, and we are sent among wolves, and we are as lambs. He's our shepherd, we're the lambs, we're the flock. Even though we're right in smack dab in the middle of a pride of wolves, do you think he's going to let anything happen to his flock, knowing that you're one of his? He's a perfect shepherd. I tell you, his cane is going to outreach anything that's happening in this world. If a wolf starts to jump on you, I guarantee he's going to knock him right off. But that shouldn't stop you. Don't let that discouragement, that fear, keep you from doing work. It's very, very, very important in the time period that we are in that this work be completed. Now, Lord knows I'm not one to take initiative to do anything. And I'm just speaking because I can only speak for myself. But through encouragement from several people, I can say I know God is working, and through some things I've said or done, things are starting to roll and things are starting to happen. And it's not necessarily my initiative, but what God planted in me. And it's through somebody else. The thing of it is, we need work done. We need laborers. The harvest time is coming. We're going home.
Right.
The thing of it is your harvest ready? Are your seeds planted? Have you been tending to your garden? There's a lot of stuff to take into thought when you're thinking about that. It's a lot of work to have a garden. I mean, a lot of work. You got to work the ground, plant the seeds, tend the garden, pull the weeds, water it, feed it, nurture it. But there is still that work. There's still more afterwards. Even after the fruit has come forward, in due season, that crop that was there before will pass and you'll have another crop to lay. There's always work. It's continuing. It's a continuing cycle until God calls us out of here, until we have that trump sound, until we're called up into the air. What a glad reunion day that's going to be. There's going to be a lot of rest, but the thing of it is your work done. We are responsible for what's being said today, right now. You may not have tomorrow. I'm just saying we are responsible for the now. Who we talk to now. Who we witness to now. It's all very important work. Very important. I know from my own experiences what's going on with me right now, I'm lax in a lot of that areas. A lot of those areas are not being touched by me, and they need to be. And God's been working with me and showing me that. The only thing is, I'm held accountable for what I am going to... Now that I know, I'm held accountable for what I'm going to do. And I need to make a move. There's that work to be done. Now, I would ask you, I'm challenging you, to tend the garden. The TV can wait. If you have to, the yard can hold off for a little while. If you got clothes in your closet to wear, don't worry about washing. You don't have to have that pretty new blouse to go out and talk to somebody. Gentlemen, you don't have to have the nice new pants or nice shirt, button up, whatever. Lord gives you what you need. But we need to get out there and do the work. I'm saying we just need to prioritize the work. Doors need to be knocked on. We are called. Now, there's not a great congregation here, not like some of these thousands of churches. There are, numerous, 300 or 400. We don't need that. I'm just not saying that. We have work as well. Even if we are small in number, we don't have to be great in number. We have something greater than that is in the world. And that is God. Now, what we do with that, what we do with the knowledge that God has given to us, is what we're held accountable for. If you don't know how to plant a garden, you don't have the ability or knowledge to do so, right here's your instruction book. Now, this instruction booklet here is perfect and without spot, without anything that needs to be edited out. No changes need to be made to this. So no one that has God in their life and God in their heart and that change has been made, no one has any reason to say, well, I didn't know what to do. We have the instructions right here. We are called. We need to work. We need to labor. Question is, are you going to pick up the word, read it, understand it, seek after Him? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He will give you what you need to do the work.
Yes, He will.
you have the tools all right here to till the garden, to turn the ground, to plant the seeds. Right here is the seed.
Yeah. Right.
Are you going to plant it? Are you going to spread it? Are you going to work it? That's the question. I challenge you to do a work. Don't be as much so as I am. I'm lazy. I'll tell you firsthand, I'm downright lazy and bitched. But there is that work, and I am called. I am held accountable. I need to do it, just as anybody else.
Yeah.
Question is, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it?
And if God spoke to your heart tonight, that's a call. If God's dealing with you in your heart, something needs to be done. And not before, not when you leave, not before when the music starts playing, but if God's touching your heart on anything, you need to make a move. And I mean ASAP. Because God's not always going to be calling you on that. You make the move when He calls, when He says. That's what needs to be done. There's a work. There's a labor. We need help. We need laborers. We need to plant the seed. Question is, are you going to plant? When are you going to plant? The kingdom and judgment of God is coming. It comes nigh. It's getting close. Are you going to make a move? Preacher, I do appreciate you letting me come tonight.
Amen. Appreciate the preaching.
Amen.
I'll give you the two best verses in the Word of God to me to go along with this message. I'll give you the two best. And if you can do this, and I can do this, what he preached tonight will come to reality. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth, what you teach him, and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If you can do it with a broken heart, weep over sinners, give them the gospel. Now listen, when God saved me, I was fired up. And there's some people got saved just because of my zeal and changing my life. But I'm going to tell you this, the most effective witness you'll ever have if you can do it with a broken heart.
Yeah,
over that soul you're talking to. Brother Stedman, I remember many a time when he'd tell me about Jesus, he would be weeping when he told me. And it affected me just to see a man crying and weeping over me. It affects you. I never heard my grandpa Hyatt pray without crying. Never did. We got down to pray, he'd always, if you come up, he had his handkerchief out. And folks, what he preached tonight is reality. It's our responsibility. And can I say this? We do what's in our heart. It's not, well, the preacher said we need to do that. It's God put it in my heart to do that. Now, the preacher says it because God says it, but at the same time, it's activated by the Spirit. And certainly tonight, we need this. I've done better lately. Took a do-better pill, I reckon, you know, and talking to people about the Lord and about what God put on my heart. I'm going to ask you this, and I'm not going to answer this message because he's done preached it. But I'm going to ask you this. Who's more concerned about Patrick Finney in this church than anybody sitting here? Right there. Who's concerned more about my family members? I am. When I got saved, who was more concerned about my wife being saved? Oh, the church collectively ought to be that way, but where's the burden going to be carried? See, there's people Christopher can reach I won't reach. That don't mean I ought not try and pray. And if somebody asks me to go visit their loved one, I'm going to go do it. And maybe God would use me to give the gospel to them. But the burden's being carried by him probably as I give the gospel. You see what I'm saying? Brother Robert Stedman, the man that God used to get me to God, I went to see him in the hospital. He's in bad shape. And this is what he said to me. He said, before you go, I want you to pray for me. He said, if it's in your heart to. He said, don't be offensive to that. He said, just to pray without it being in your heart, it wouldn't do no good. And he said, my daughter, a while ago, before she left, he said, I asked her to pray for me. I figured she loved me as much as anybody. Well, I'm going to tell you what, there's Bible truth in what I'm talking about. What moves a man to do what this man preaching tonight is the love of God in his heart for that individual he's doing it toward. Amen? That's right. I've got a concern for your people tonight. I really do. But that concern's hooked up with your burden. That's right. And that's where it's at. And when we get that, you'll be doing that. Amen? That's right. And you see that man out there walking into Lowe's or walking into Food Line or wherever you at, and you see that man right there, you got the love of God in your heart. You say, I love that man. I really want to see him saved.
Right.
And I want to go up and talk to him, tell him that I just love to see him saved. He's not saved. And you don't have to preach to him. Not unless the door's open to preach to him. But I tell you this, if you can get a word of God into him, it'll affect him with sincerity and love in your heart. Amen. That's right. I appreciate the good preaching tonight. Done a fine job. Amen. Let's stand tonight. We'll have a word of prayer. And remember, service is on the Lord's day. Brother Danny, you have prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're certainly thankful for the privilege that we've had to be in your house this evening.
Yes.
We thank you for Brother Chris who stood and brought us a message from the Word of God.
Yes.
He told us the truth. And I pray, God, we take it seriously. We're certainly, as he said, we're running out of time. It's time to quit playing. I pray, God, you burden our heart. You give us diligence in our heart to try to reach those that you give us opportunity to speak to. Father, may we have that love in our heart toward others. Father, we certainly, I do pray, God, show them the love of God, pray for them, be faithful, God, to just tell them the truth, God, try to point them to Christ.
Yes.
I pray, God, you do that, and you might use those here in this church, in this house of God. Father, we certainly thank you and praise your name for those who have been saved recently. Father, we pray for those that's not. Father, my God, we pray, God, that there might be something they've seen or they've heard in this place tonight.
Yes.
God, it might break their heart, God. God calls them, God, to realize their need. Father, we certainly pray, God, for the meeting coming up. God, we pray for safe traveling mercies for the men of God coming in.
Yeah, Lord.
Father, we pray, God, that you touch and you bless. We pray for the prayer of hearts of the people. For the meeting ever starts this coming Sunday, God, we come with hunger in our heart, wanting to see you, God, meet with your people, want to see you move amongst your people.
Amen.
In this place and do great things. Father, we pray, God, that we'd be on our face, God, seeking you, God, because if anything's done,
amen.
It's because you do it. Father, we ask you,
give us a brokenness, a burden, tears.
To those that will be visiting, God,
give us a broken heart.
That you might show up, that you might
live, yeah, Lord.
That you might change lives, Father, that you might encourage the hearts of your children, God, draw us closer to thee. Father, we want to thank you tonight for saving us, God, just for the privilege of being able to save our child of God. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to bow our head and come to you in the name of Christ.
Yes.
Father, we love you tonight, because first loved us. Father, thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all you're going to do. Father, we pray, God, that we have a thanksgiving in our heart toward thee for it as we should. Father, thank you for the privilege to pray. Thank you for the privilege one more time to be in your house. Father, for all these things that we pray to you, God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Brother Billy Mitchell said, there's nothing wrong with the sea, it's the ground. I want to ask you a question. He spoke about the parable of the sower and the seed. Philip went to an Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter number 8. And he asked the eunuch this question. And this was the key to that eunuch getting saved. He said this. understandest what thou readest? What was the key to that good ground? Not only that seed fell into it, but it what? Understood it. Has spiritual understanding. He said, how can it except some man guide me? What did Philip do? He got up and carried priest unto him. Understanding came to him because he believed in the Lord God from his heart. That's right. That's where it's at. But the Holy Spirit's the only one to give understanding to a man. But that's the key. You see, remember the sower and the seed on the ground that the fowls of the air took it? Read it. It says they understood not. But the good ground, it says, and understandeth. There's an understanding that comes with the gospel through faith. By hearing the word, understanding comes with that. It causes a man to come to Christ as a sinner and believe, and God gives him that knowledge. That's the act of God. But he said it right. God uses who to sow? Us. There's nobody in this house of God tonight that got saved without a human instrument. Everybody had a human instrument. God used the human instrument. He fired his vessel in that with the treasure of God. Amen. All right, I appreciate you being here. Appreciate the young man preaching. If you got any offering, put it in the plate. Remember Sunday now, be in prayer. God bless you. Be back. Shake somebody's hand. Amen. Thank you.